Hey everybody, it's JT. What is on your holiday meal shopping list? Well, I would suggest Painted Hills Natural Beef. It is some of the best beef in the world. And your friends and family will be thanking you for a long time if you serve Painted Hills Natural Beef for your holiday meals. And now you can buy it online just by going to PaintedHillsBeef.com. Use the code BBQNATION at checkout and save yourself 15% on your order. Give Painted Hills Natural Beef a place on your table this holiday season.
Welcome to Barbecue Nation with JT's After Hours. Conversation that took place after the broadcast ended.
Hey everybody, it's JT, and this is a special version of Barbecue Nation. It is brought to you in part by Painted Hills Natural Beef. Beef you can be proud to serve your family and friends. That's Painted Hills Natural Beef. Hey, everybody. Welcome to After Hours here on Barbecue Nation. I'm JT, and today we've got Vic Clevenger with us. You know, the cooking comedian. You got to love Vic. He does some funny stuff out there, and he also loves his barbecue and his food. And, you know, I noticed in your write-up.
I need to stop loving the food so much.
There you go.
I'm putting on too much weight. It's either stop eating or buy more clothes, and I can't afford more clothes.
Well, I like your thing where you said that mom taught you and your brother how to cook because she figured you guys were too ugly to find wives and you would need to know how to survive.
Partly true.
Yeah, partly true. That was partly true for me, too. I enjoyed it. That's the thing. I always enjoyed learning of any sort, but when it came for some reason, I don't know why, but when it came to cooking, I was really into it from a young age. I really liked it. And so I was game to learn from anybody.
Oh yeah. It's always been a lot of fun. My brother's actually a chef. He's retired now, but he was a chef for a while. My daughter's trained culinary school, all that stuff. So I just kind of picked it up, but mom domesticated me and my brother both. I mean, we could do anything. Women are all the time, oh, I can do anything a man can do. Well, mom taught me and my brother to do anything a woman can do.
Yep.
We cook, we sew, we sweep, we clean house. We can do all that stuff. And I made a mistake of telling my wife that, and now she expects it. Now that I work from home, she expects me to actually take time out of my day to actually do something. I'm like, why? I got to work. But I still do it. Not like I don't mind doing it. I don't mind doing the dishes. I dirty half of them. Anyway, so why not clean them?
Yeah, I'm that way. In fact, I do most of the cooking, and my wife is very kind to me because when I start experimenting with stuff, you know, and I'll set the plate down in front of her and say, you know, this is linguine with parrot tongues, and you know, something like she'll look at me, she'll try it, and. If she doesn't like it, she's pretty straightforward about it. I mean, she doesn't like throw the plate on the floor and get up and stomp off, but she'll take a few bites and, you know, then go to eating the fruit garnish or something. So,
oh, yeah. But we do that with, we'll have a contest here at the house. Basically I'm searching for new flavor profiles for steaks or an ancillary contest I got coming up or whatever. So we'll have a contest and I'll cook like 3 or 4 or 5 ribeyes and season each one of them different and cut them into bite sizes and put them on different plates that I've got numbered. And then everybody has a scorecard that we score what we liked about the steak, which one we like better, what do we like about it. And they're all cooked pretty much the same way. Different, like I said, different flavor profiles, just searching for that new flavor. And I'll do that with the different kind of recipes and ancillaries and things I'm doing. And we have a nice contest. And sometimes the kids, when they come around, because, you know, my kids are all grown now, they'll come around like, yeah, Dad, we're going to eat that, but that's not our favorite thing, and please don't cook it again.
Yep.
So I've had that a few times.
Yep. Yeah, and that's honest. That's good.
Well, yeah.
You
and
know.
I dig it because they have to be honest. And that's what I like about cooking for the family is my kids, when kids are little, when they're babies, they're truthful. Even when they embarrass their parents, they're going to say, hey, why does that guy not have a face? And you're like, don't stare.
Right.
Why doesn't he have a face? And then you're all embarrassed. my kids have gotten to the point knowing that in my cooking, they'll do the same thing. They're brutal. They'll say, yeah, this was okay, but it was, you know, the texture was wrong, or we didn't like the seasoning, too much pepper, or whatever. And they're just brutally honest. And I appreciate that, because that's how I'm going to get better, is have that honest feedback. To me, my friends are like, man, this is the greatest thing. And you're like, well, that's the greatest thing because it's free. That's why it's the greatest thing. If you had to pay for it, what would you think? Oh, if I had to pay for it, and then I'd go someplace else. I'm like, oh, that's what I'm looking for.
I know that brutally honest stuff because when my daughter was little, she heard me say one time we were at an event that there was a lady there who had spandex on. And I said, some people just shouldn't wear spandex. Just not loud, not pointing it out. Nobody could hear me except my wife and my daughter, you know, and my wife kind of smiled, and Mercedes looked at me like, huh? And she was probably 4 or 5, like that. Okay. Flash forward about 2 weeks, we're at the grocery store or in the checkout line, and this lady, different person, different town, but she had on spandex. And she wasn't really built for it. And my daughter turns around and goes, is that lady one of those people that shouldn't wear spandex?
That's awesome.
Busted. So
yeah, I love it when they're honest like that. It cracks me up.
Oh, yeah. You know, and I could have walked upright under a door at that time, closed door. You know, my God, I was like, eh. And then,
yeah.
So then the lady kind of left. She didn't really get embarrassed, but the checker, she heard it all, and she was laughing her ass off when that lady left.
Oh, so, yeah, that's the funnest, is when you make other people laugh.
Yeah.
Kids are horribly honest, and it's, I mean, I appreciate it until I'm the person they're honest about, and then I'm like, yeah, no, don't talk to me like that. I got a fragile ego.
Yeah, I get that. You know, let's go back to, you're talking about cooking and ancillary things, and people on the show have heard me say this a few times, and I've said it on other shows, and I've done it on TV a number of times. My favorite thing to do is, because we live in the Northwest, and you can do this, I'm sure you do the same stuff because you're in Florida, so we're on the coast, we've got great seafood up here. So what I like to do is I like to take like a 10 to 12 ounce fillet, and you know, I cook it, you can do that several ways, but if I'm indoors and it's the winter and all that, so you know, maybe sear it, broil it, whatever you're gonna do, I don't care. But I also make a kind of a cream crab sauce with lots of Dungeness crab and some capers and garlic and stuff, and it's got a lot of crab in it. You do that, and then you can serve it with whatever, a Caesar salad and, you know, some roasted vegetables or whatever you like. Anyway, that's one of the things that I really like to cook, and it's something that I'm sure somewhere some restaurant has done that, but it's something I kind of created myself, and it kind of became one of my signature dishes. And I don't do it that often, but, you know, and the reason I did it, and I remember very vividly, is because I hadn't seen it done like that before. And I just went, well, why not? Why the hell not? So I started fussing with it. And then I, you know, got it down to where it was edible and all that. And so as we were talking in the main show about people being creative, you can look at stuff and say, I wonder why this hasn't ever been done.
Yeah, I'm the same way, and but I do I'm more that way with animals, like I'm in search of now a whole python. I'm like, I've had snake, everybody's eating snake, but has anybody ever cooked a whole snake on a smoker?
Yeah.
So down here in Florida, we've got pythons and stuff down in the Everglades, and you do the big python roundup. So I've got word out trying to find me a you know, maybe a 6 or 7 footer that I could put on the cooker and cook it, you know, skin it, of course, and then cook the meat on it. Just try, and why hasn't anybody done this?
Right.
Why hasn't anybody tried to cook this? Or, and then different recipes, like, Like we were talking about that, I got that red wine reduction I've got. Uh-huh. I mean, everybody has one, but I've got one I like better than some of the rest of them I've had.
Sure.
Or do a shark with a white sauce. Or, man, that's the cool thing about cooking is there's no wrong way to do it unless you burn it.
Right.
You know, just try to mix it. There's just ways like, you know what, that just doesn't work for me. I don't like that texture. I don't like that flavor profile or that flavor combination. That's the worst thing that can happen. Then I just mark it off my list and say, okay, I've done it.
Yeah.
And it just doesn't work like I thought it would, because I thought these flavors would come together, but they don't. So I'll just go do something else.
Kind of like my flaming papaya. That didn't work very good because it left like little burning pieces of napalm from the kitchen all to the dining room. But my wife would, she banned that idea years ago because I'd been in Vegas and I had, they had had a flaming papaya dessert and I ordered it and it was marvelous. And, you know, I was having a pretty good time. Pretty much chemically unbalanced at that particular point in time. And so I remember it, but I don't remember all like what they did. Did they put cognac in it or what, you know, whatever they put in it. So I loaded this thing up with some brown sugar and ice cream and a little, I think, Drambuie and a little cognac or something and some sprinkled almonds and heated it up and lit it on fire. And as I was carrying it, part of the juices, which were burning, landed on my arm. And so I kind of jumped, and then everything, you know, it looked like a bad movie from the Vietnam era. Everything went I'm not allowed to do that anymore.
Yeah, you got to be a little bit more careful when you're working with fire like that. That's I do the same thing. I'll do one of the things I like to do is do different flavor profiles. Now, I don't like mushrooms. Hate them.
Yep.
I think they're an abomination from Satan. I just hate mushrooms. My wife loves them. But I'll think of something. And I'll think, I wonder what this would be like in a portobello.
Mm-hmm.
Or if I put some baby bellas together on this with this, what it'd be like. So I'll put it together. And I'll serve it to her, and sometimes she's like, yeah, that's great. Sometimes she's like, yeah, no, I don't like my mushrooms like that. And I'm like, all right.
Yep.
But, you know, there's some things I'm like, I think if a different flavor profile. I mean, I've had mushrooms. They're just not one of my favorite things. I know what they taste like.
Yep.
But, like, you know, what can I do for my wife that she's going to dig with mushrooms since she likes them so much? And, I mean, it's not – and, you know, it sounds great. So all you women – this is how real men act. We look at you guys like, how can we please you and make your food better?
Mm-hmm.
When in reality, I just want to try something different.
Yeah, well, it's a, you know.
It's Valentine's.
Yeah.
So I'm going to try to get all the brownie points I can get.
I understand that deal, too.
Me and my wife, like, we're Valentine's Day is coming up this Friday. I mean, I'm not sure when this is going to air, but it's for us right now, it's going to be Friday. When Valentine's is. So our original plans were to go to, you know, one of the Disney parks, and, you know, Epcot has this, you know, Disney on Broadway series that they're doing with all the songs. So we like to go over there and listen to the music and the show tunes and all that kind of stuff. So this Valentine's, that was our original plan. We'll go to Epcot, have a nice meal, and listen to a concert and just have a great time at Disney World. So then we found out that our hog auction is this weekend, and we got a buddy of mine. My wife's, her son does hog auction. So for Valentine's, is how cool my wife is. For Valentine's, we're going to a hog auction instead of Disney World, and we're going to watch. But every year she tells me I'm not allowed to bid, so she won't let me buy a bidder's card because I'll buy some hog and have it butchered up. But the boy is raising a Duroc. So everybody who listens knows, probably knows Compart and all that stuff. So the Duroc breed. But so for Valentine's, ladies, we're willing to go to hog auctions with you. If you're so inclined.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you're a man after my own heart, Vic. So
she looked at me last night. She goes, don't you just have a cool wife? I'm like, yes, I do.
Yep.
So I'll buy her a Big Mac or a hot dog from one of the vendors out there, and we'll have us a nice scrumptious meal, and I'll have her some flowers or something. I'll pick her some flowers out from the cemetery or something and give it for her.
Yeah, make sure you take the card off of it that says sorry for your loss or something like that.
Oh, yeah. You know? I was in college. I had a guy, a friend of mine. One of my jobs when I was doing work study, I helped with the maintenance and part of our job was, you know, mowing and all that stuff. But on our property were these city cemeteries. And part of the contract, I guess, with the college was, you know, y'all maintain the cemeteries. So we go and cut them. But after a fresh one was dug and it was buried, one of the guys I worked with, it wasn't me because I wasn't married at the time, he would go after he was pretty sure that, you know, all the visitors were gone.
Yeah.
From, you know, wouldn't be come back. He would go and he'd get a bouquet of roses off a grave and take them home to his wife. And she just thought he was, oh, you're so thoughtful, until somehow the cat got out of the bag that he was actually taking the roses off the graves. And then she was like beside herself, embarrassed and angry because she was giving her a dead person's roses.
I was going to say, are they still married?
As far as I know, I mean, of course, that was like 150 years ago. So I assume they still are, but it was funny. He was an older student. I mean, he was probably in his 20s, mid 20s or something. I was like 21, 20, 19, somewhere in there. But that was what he would do. He would be romantic. He's a man, I'm saving money doing this. I'm like, you're a nut job, dude.
Well,
but it was funny.
I'll tell you a quick story about me. I was at Cal Poly in Southern California, in Pomona. And there was a gal there that I kind of fancied, going to do this and that. And Cal Poly's got quite a storied history if you get beyond the curtain, so to speak. There's lots of stuff that goes on there. So we took a walk one day, and it was a Saturday, I think. And we walked up on the hill. So, and the thing is, Cal Poly bumps into one of the, like, the Forest Lawn cemeteries or City of Covina or something. There's a cemetery kind of right next door. You don't see it because there's trees and stuff in between it. So we're up on the hill, and she said, do you know about the grave up here? And I said, no. She goes, yeah, there's a grave up here. And the reason they put the grave up here was something to do with it then, because somebody was buried there, they couldn't disturb that piece of the property. And I think it had to do with, like, L.A. County or whatever, San Bernardino County, wanting to expand the freeway or something. And so but they found a body years ago and put it up there. All right, so she's up there talking to me like this, and I'm thinking that's really cool. And this is actually kind of a dumb story, but I turn around, and there's a bloody chain gang right behind us. A work program from Chino Prison back there. And there's like a dozen of these guys with like, one guy with a shotgun asleep halfway down the hill. And we got to walk through all these guys as we're going down there. That was my last date with her, by the way.
We had one when we got to be upperclassmen in college, that same cemetery where the freshmen would come in. So we, you know how upperclassmen do. They pick out the fresh blood. And,
oh, yeah.
And they go around and say, hey, baby, he said, you know, we have a cemetery up here behind the dorms. She goes, yeah. Said, there's a glass tombstone up there. She goes, a glass tombstone? I'm like, yeah. It's a glass headstone. You want to go up there and see it. And so our ploy was take him up there to see the glass headstone and, of course, make out with him.
Sure.
But it wasn't really a glass headstone. The person's name was Glass. So we duped him and thinking it was a glass headstone. We got up there and kind of tricked him and say it was, you know, it's a glass headstone. And they're like, oh, you're so funny. Some of them got mad and walked off, but
yeah,
a lot of them liked to stay around and explore.
Oh, yeah. I understand completely. Just when the chain gang was there, this young lady was not particularly interested. And so, and to be truthful, I probably wasn't much then either when you see, you know, a dozen guys in orange suits and they're, and they're literally were kind of manacled together. I mean, they had 20-foot sections of chain between them, and it wasn't very big chain. It wasn't like something you'd see in Cool Hand Luke, but you know what I mean? It was not. Anyway, Vic, it's been a real pleasure, and we will have you back sooner than a year this time. How's that?
Yeah. I'll be at Redmond in March.
Oh, will you?
Sportsman show.
Oh, yeah. Good.
I forgot to mention that on the other show. But for the sportsman show, I think March 12th is when it is, somewhere in that vicinity.
Yeah.
I'll be at the Redmond Sportsman Show. We'll be cooking a bunch of different contests and stuff. I'll be kind of emceeing the demonstration tent, but there's going to be a lot of cooking going on.
Well, maybe I can slip over the hill and see you.
Yeah, come on. Yeah,
we'll do that. All right, bud. Thanks a bunch. I appreciate it.
Bye.
Everybody.
Talk to you soon.
Yeah, Vic Clevenger, everybody, and we thank him. And we'll be back next week with another edition of After Hours right here on Barbecue Nation. Thanks, everybody.